Welcome to the second hour of A Voice of a People, live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download an app called TuneIn. Now, this app is free on any electronic device, cell phone, iPhones, laptops, or computers. And that way, you'll have WWGH as an app on your device. Now, don't forget to search WWGH once you download TuneIn app. Or you can call in if you want to be a part of the conversation, like right now. If you have any questions or would like to make any comments, please call in 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement, free produce every third Saturday of every month. This will take place October the 15th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Please take advantage of this announcement and share with others. Inspect Ohio LLC, your one call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. The owner, Cheryl Lee, location LaRue, Ohio. Phone there is 740-262-0939. I have another announcement for you. The League of Women Voters will have Meet the Candidate Night out at Harding High School. This will take place the 11th, which is next Tuesday of October. It begins at 7 to 8 p.m. So if you have not met the candidates or know what they stand for or how they vote, please plan on attending this event, which will be at Harding High School, 7 to 8 p.m. Tuesday night. League of Women Voters will be sponsoring this. And don't forget to go vote. Early voting. I think I have to get the exact dates, but it may have already started. Okay, make sure you register. I don't think it's too late to register. But do your civic duty as a citizen. Go vote. Okay? Now, I like to start my show off with a thought for today, and I gave this thought last hour, and I'm going to give it again. It's titled, Gentleness. If trees had souls, and my guest was talking about trees the last hour. Yes, you did. The quality most attributable to them would be gentleness. Gentleness is not a lack of strength, but a quality which does not disturb. It does not push, yet knows its power and can provide shelter. Now I'll turn my attention to my guest, Willie Harris, Tap One. You can find him on YouTube, his podcast. And he brought his son with him today, Isaiah.
Yes, ma'am.
And we've had a fun time the last hour, and hopefully you stick around and enjoy this hour as well. So I'm going to start out with Willie saying hello. How you doing again?
Hello. How you doing? I'm doing fine.
We're doing great. Doing great. Isaiah.
Once again, woke up this morning, so it's still a good day.
Amen, amen. Welcome. I'm so glad your dad brought you today. I'm so glad to meet you.
Me too, honestly. I wasn't really sure as far as like how it was all going to play out, but I mean, it always seemed, as long as you go on with the best intentions of everything, you'll get the best out of it. So.
Hey, the more the merrier. I was thinking, after I was trying to get ready. I don't usually answer my phone when I'm trying to get here, right? I heard him call, so I had to run and get the phone, right? I'm like, yeah, bring him, yeah, why not? This is last minute notice, like, after 12, I'm texting your dad. I need you.
Yeah, cool. Matter of fact, somebody had just, Keita had asked me the other day, that was what, Monday, Tuesday? He said, man, when you going back on the air? I said, when she called.
Great. I'm going to give him a spot, though. He'll have a permanent spot where he can come.
I think you
need
one.
Yeah, once a month. Yeah, I do too.
I think you need one.
Yeah, once a month or twice a month.
That'll work.
Why not? You know, have the time.
Hey, use it while you got it.
Yeah, I used to be squeezed just 1 hour, you know, but now it's like two a day. Mm-hmm. So, hey, let's roll with it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so if you were not here last hour, we talked about so many things, really getting to know Isaiah and his travels so far. He's a young man, though, and he loves drums. He's in the music world, and he's trying to get in where he needs to be or what he wants to be, right? So if you know of anyone that's really into music, and this is also on Facebook Live, so you can enter your comments in the chat portion of Facebook Live or on Messenger. You can go on my page, Linda Sims, and pull up the show today. So don't forget that. And when you do pull it up, please share with other people so they can get to know what you know and meet Isaiah and Willie Harris. But Willie Harris is a native of Marion, Ohio, right, Willie?
Yes. Born and raised, well, until I was 17. So, you know.
Technically raised.
Say again?
Technically raised.
Yeah, technically. But I still feel like I grew up in Italy, though.
Yeah, you spent a lot of time in Italy.
Yeah. They kind of.
Well, that's where you matured.
That's kind of like what happened then, yeah.
So yeah, because you were a kid when you left here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Matured there.
I was a kid when I went to Italy and didn't know it. I mean, you know, I wasn't his age. I think I was 22.
Okay.
Yeah. I was about 21, 22. I was already married.
So that was out the Navy, right?
Mm-hmm. I was already married a year or two. And I cringe at the thought of him thinking about being married at this age.
Yeah. He said no.
No, I'm just saying.
Right.
And then I look at my own life, and it's like, I was doing it, you know. But right. I think that I was better thinker at that time. But it seemed like these young cats today, they think differently.
Like you said, it was a different time then, you know. Like, now you got to be very careful about who you want to hang around.
Yeah.
You know, like it's so much stuff that goes on between a person and their spouse, especially younger ages. Yeah. You know, No, you might as well wait until you figure it out. And then when you figure it out, sit down with somebody that you can really communicate to and really understand either how you think or how both of y'all can communicate together and be one. Until you figure that out, don't do nothing that you're going to regret later.
See, he should have been there in 1973.
To be your voice in your ear, right?
When I first got married, so he could tell me that.
Right.
You know, and I probably wouldn't have paid him no attention, you know, but... Because we had, if you look at the book, I had the first person after the second person. You know, that's the person I ended up marrying. So I was just destined to do that. And had I not married that individual, I wouldn't know how to write and read like I did. Because she was a journalist in the military. And that was what she did. She was an editor for a book, for the paper.
Right.
And so I used to always go with her and take pictures and set type and do all that kind of stuff. So I learned how to do that. But writing stories, man, it was always fascinating to me how their group could come up with all these writings.
Mm-hmm.
And here it was, you know, I could barely read, you know, because I had left early out of school and wasn't paying school much attention while I was in
just there. Playing, just right? Like, while you were like, in there, just playing.
I didn't figure it out until much, much later. I went through that whole period of man, that first 20 years, I don't even think that I cared about whether I had did anything or not. You know, it just didn't dawn on me, you know, that I didn't get what I should have got in school.
Right.
I just went back and got what I needed to just say that I got the diploma. But other than learning, I wasn't trying to learn nothing. I was just trying to get through the course.
Right.
You know, and check it off. Still didn't learn nothing.
That's pretty much how we looked at it when we got in there. Just, high school, it's going to be fun. And then you get... junior year, you're like, is it time to leave yet? And then you're just like, no, you still got a whole nother year left. Oh, my God. Senior year come, you ready to leave.
Yeah.
Then just to jump into another schooling.
And just think about how many people don't even make it to the senior year because they've already gotten so tired of it, you know, and they're ready to go.
You know, that's why, you know, I figured, man, you know what? I thought I had it thought out. I said, I go in the Navy. I can get my GED or whatever. I said, it'll only take me about a week to do that. I said, and then, you know, I can keep moving on. Mm-hmm. Then I can skip the 2 grades I didn't get when I mm-hmm. jumped out of here from the 10th. I can go in and get my GED, and I can skip the 11th and 12th.
Right.
I didn't know I was going to have to know all that stuff in the 11th and 12th in order to take the GED test.
Nobody told me that. Right, right. It's not easy
and
to get that.
I never could get it where I had to actually go to a course.
Right, you
and
do.
And be taught that stuff.
Man, right.
It was like,
to pass that test.
And, you know, some people could read that stuff and take that test and pass it.
Some people, yeah. Well, I don't have it like that.
And when I would talk to them, I'm like, well, how did you pass the test?
Right.
Talking to them, they'd be sounding like they don't know nothing. But yet still, they could pass that test.
Right.
I had a friend like that. He didn't have to go to class. He didn't have to watch the teacher, nothing. They'd put the paper in front of him, he'd fill it out, he'd take a test, get 100 on it. I'm like, how you do that? Bro, you ain't even paying attention.
Right.
Everybody that's paying attention, they got 70s, 80s, some of them got 60s, 50s, and you done got 100. You ain't even been in the class the last 2 days. He said, man, I just don't need to.
I knew some people like that. Do you remember Mary Ann Johnson and Junior Johnson and them?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They were like that.
Is that right?
They were like that.
I knew they played ball really well.
Yeah, they were like that.
She was beautiful, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mary.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, she passed away last year. Yes, she did.
Hmm.
Yep, she sure did. They had moved out to California.
I had heard that they had moved one time when I came back to visit.
Right.
And I think all of them was out there.
Mm-hmm. They were. All of them except for Larry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was he still around here?
He in Columbus, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, I missed her, my friend. Yeah,
yeah,
but they were like that. They didn't even have to come to school, and they didn't.
You know, it's interesting because that's another reason why I think that certain people get into so much, because they do have this intellect and they don't have nowhere to express it. So they
right.
do other stuff.
They do other stuff,
you know,
right.
Good or bad, indifferent. And that happens to a lot of people that I see that's got a lot of stuff going on. You don't have outlets, man. You're going to use that talent some kind of way.
Some mm-hmm. kind of way.
You know, when you have
for the good or the bad,
or
right?
You're going to use it. You're going to definitely, you know, my wife quotes this all the time. She say, you know, your gift comes without repentance.
It does.
You know, and so you can have any kind of gift. God gives us all gifts.
Yes. Talents. Yes, he does. So, yes, he does. I want to use it for the good.
Yeah. You know, I always wondered about that. How, just like, well, we was talking about the music thing, how that just runs through a family. Mm-hmm. You know, you have everybody in the family can play some kind of instrument
mm-hmm.
or can sing, you know, just like the Wines.
Right.
You know, you look at all of them, you be like, all of y'all sing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah.
Whole family.
Just like the Braxton sisters, man. I met them right after Tony had jet. Matter of fact, we was writing music for her, me and some other guys in Baltimore. They knew her, I didn't, but, you know, we was trying to write music for her, but all her sisters could sing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could blow. I mean, we knew that then. I was like, you know, you really ain't the best singer out your group.
Right.
But, you know, she the one that took it to the, just like every other group, they do that. The ones that can sing real well, the other ones take it to another level.
And she had that deep voice, too, that deep, sultry voice. Yeah.
Her and Anita Baker.
Yeah. Concerto, I was just listening to.
Concertos or something. I think
yeah.
they call it, or something like that.
What's it?
Concerto.
Okay.
Is it's like a baritone, I think, for a female.
Yeah.
I could be mistaken, but I don't think so.
Hey, I don't know. All I know is, you
no,
know,
I
can get with
girl,
it, though.
You know,
I'd like it.
But, yeah, she had that. She had a beautiful voice. She still do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does.
She's a funny girl, though, man. She's cool, though.
Who, Toni Braxton?
Yeah. You know, you get used to seeing people on the limelight. You don't know that they're real people.
Yeah, we forget that sometimes,
yeah,
you know.
Her family, man, they it was a lot of them.
It's funny y'all said that, because being in Georgia, you see everybody. Like,
true.
Literally, you see everybody. You go down the street, you're seeing Rolls Royces and
oh, yeah.
all types
oh,
of
yeah,
stuff.
Oh, yeah, you do.
And you're looking like, I wonder who's in that car.
Right.
Then they get out, you're like, oh, that's them. I don't care. You know, until you see somebody that you're like, oh, man, that's such and such. You're like, who?
My nephew was just there last weekend for the BET Award show. He won that Nissan contest.
Oh.
He's a music producer. He won that last year. Yeah.
Man.
Elijah Juan Sims.
So where does he do the music at?
He lives in, he's in Virginia, right there by DC, and
okay.
I have to send you his link.
Okay.
You're on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
I'll send you his link. Yeah.
You can do that.
He was there. Yeah. But
oh, that's cool.
They just got a hit out. Maybe a couple months ago. John, you know my brother John Sims. Do you know any of my family? Because you asked me one day.
Man, because like I told you, it was a lot of y'all Sims. I knew you, and I knew Chris. I knew the one that did the documentary. Bob, what's the older one that did the documentary?
Chris Sims' brother, which was Bill. He did the documentary.
I remember, but see, Bill was the people that I was trying to hang around. Because he was the older cat.
Yes, he was.
And him and Bill Augusta, we tried hanging around him, you know, the older guy. He was like, man, y'all going somewhere to play. But, you know, that's how I knew him, because he hung around with the other older guys on the west side.
Right.
So I got to know him through that, you know, like that. But, you know, we didn't travel that much on the east side to know people other than, you know, we went to school on this side. But no.
Might not. Did you know my sister Jerry?
Not about Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Think so.
Tall and skinny, yeah.
No, I know the.
She used to hang around with Hattie Roof.
I knew Harriet. Now, is she a cousin or a sister?
Which is cousin? That's Chris Sims' sister. That's their family, yeah.
See, and that's the thing that I didn't understand was a couple of different families. Right. That's all I was saying, because then Bob was a Sims too, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
And he was related to y'all too.
Yes, yes. Well, see, his mother was my dad's sister.
See, and I didn't know none of that.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Did his people used to live here?
Who? Bob's?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They lived on Center Street. His mother, Willie Jones.
Now, I knew, yeah.
That was his stepdad, yeah.
Well, I knew Willie Jones.
Yeah. His mother died 61. And then Uncle Willie married Pauline.
And they used to live side us when Bobby Nunn used to live there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I haven't seen
so you don't know my family.
I don't.
You don't know Willie Sims?
That name seems familiar.
That's my dad.
I know that name. Now, something I know about him. He used to, what did he used to do?
He used to work at the steel mill, Pollock Steel. Him and Mason Lovick and John Myers.
See, I know those
them
names.
The older guys back in the day.
Yeah, I know those names.
Yeah.
Willie Sims, I know. He used to hang around. Them sometime.
Sometime.
Like, yeah. Because I remember him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my dad.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And six of us.
See, I didn't know how many.
Yeah, in our family.
And we were looking at that little house we used to live in, man. How did we used to pack all those people in? And we used to have, it was seven of us together, you know, with mom and dad. And then we would bring cousins up and they would live in. We was thinking, oh, yeah, man. That place only had two bedrooms. Well, we put a third one on there.
Well, that was good.
Well, not really, because the girls had the back room, and parents had their room, and then everybody else just had the middle room.
Right.
Like all eight of y'all get it. It's
so like pack up, right?
Pack up, pack tight. Yeah, that was crazy, man. But
they made it work. Our parents made it work.
They did.
They made it work.
They did.
And we didn't even understand that we may have been poor or we may have been lacking something, because it just didn't seem like it. We had food to eat. We had water to drink. We had clothes on our back.
Mm-hmm.
We had both our parents. Yeah. So, hey, now it's hard to find a family with both parents.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah. You know, that so.
You'd be hard-pressed to see yes. it like that.
It's hard to find anymore, you know.
Yeah.
They may start out together, but next thing you know, they got replacements in there, like you were saying. Take time to know who you're with and make sure you know who you are. That's what's important.
That's the best thing. Because you can take a lot of stuff with you into a relationship, and you didn't even know you had it until something come about. And then you're just like, well, what happened? Like, I didn't know that. I didn't know none of that.
You know? Right, right. Yeah, I was listening to Steve Harvey last night. He said, know who you are as a man. You know, yes. What you want.
Yeah.
Where you going.
See, and that's why I don't tell anybody, man, do not get married like an early age like I did, because what could you possibly know at 19?
Or 17. I was married at 17.
Is that right? There's nothing you can
do. Well, you remember Dwight Howell, right?
Yeah. Leprechaun. You didn't call him that, did you?
No.
But you know they did.
I did not. That's messed up. I have forgot about that.
That's messed up.
Yeah, we used to call him Leprechaun. I don't know why. He was cool, though.
You say you don't know why. Yeah.
I don't. You know why?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't.
I don't know why. But you know, man, we used to...
Everybody got a name.
Everybody got a name.
And I never like calling people by their nicknames. I like calling them by their names. Yes, right. Yes.
And me, it's just like when I see guys like Beaver, I still call him by his nickname. You know, he'd be like, you know, people don't call me that no more.
So I done growed up now. Right.
Yeah,
right.
Just like players, I still call him by his nickname.
Okay.
You know. And he know, because just like he say, man, when people say my full name, I know somebody from around here.
Right.
I could be in Mexico, and if somebody say, hey, Willie Gaines, I'd be like, hey, he's from Marin, whoever it is. He's a founder in Mexico.
Because that's all I knew was Willie James.
Yeah.
You know.
That's Keita, the only one that really called me that all the time. Most everybody else called me either Willie or Woody. But it's all right, man. You know, it still works.
You got all them names, hey, I guess.
You know, I always identify people, you know, with the names that I give them. Because a lot of times I can't necessarily remember their name.
That's messed up, but that is, yeah, so I did that too.
He got mad at me for a long time. He said, how you going to not know how to spell my name? I don't practice your name as much as I do mine.
Well, that's true. But he's still supposed to know, right?
Right, at least.
But it's all right, though. I got it written down.
But it's funny, though, because now it's automatic. When I go to people, I tell them how to spell my name.
How do you spell it?
I-S-A-I-A-H. A lot of people spell it I-S-I-A-H or okay. I-S-A-H or something. And I'm just like, well, you're missing a few letters, but, you know, I guess that it worked.
I think I spelled it right.
Well, so, yeah, just like
it
like
is
the
in
Bible.
The Bible. Yeah, yes, that's how I spelled it. Man.
See, that's where we got it from now. That whole thing came up, too, because God had told us to name him. It was a long story, but long. It was 9 months or 7 months, whatever it took for the kid to come around. He finally came around. But God, he came to me one night, man, while I was in the music.
Really?
Said, you know what? I want you to have a son. I'm like, man, you out your mind. Talking, the music is nice. Hey, can you just please let me just do this?
I
understand
joint,
it's
right?
your thing. And you know, so I ran upstairs and I told his mom at the time, I said, you know what? I think God's telling me to have a kid. She said, boy, you need to go back down to the studio. She said, but you've been smoking too much. I went down there and God told me again. He said, listen, so you will know, this is what he's telling me. He said, he's going to be a boy. He said, and he's going to have this kind of personality where he's going to be outgoing. He said, and I want you and your wife to teach him to braille the world, because he belongs to the world and not y'all. Mm. He said, I just want you to raise him. I want you to raise him like I told you, like mm-hmm. I'm telling you to.
Right, right.
You know, I want him to grow up and be free. And people didn't understand, because Isaiah was very active as a kid.
Right.
Like overly active. I mean, to my mom said, son, I can't keep you, boy. She said, he's my grandson and I love him. She said, but I can't keep him. She said, he's too busy. So anyways, I told her the second time, I explained to her a little bit more. And she said, all right, she started thinking about it. So after I kept talking to her about it, she's like, okay, I see God must be talking to you. I kept telling her all these things he was telling me about.
Right, right.
And that's why it freaks me out to see some of this stuff now as he's material, gotten older and got mature. And so I told her and she's like, oh, okay, so we did what we had to do, get planned for it and all that. And we knew what he was going to be like. We knew the whole time. Just like when they do baby showers and all that. Like, look, don't nobody bring us nothing in here pink. It's a boy. The doctor never asked us.
So no question, right?
Never questioned it. And then when it was time for him, I was learning how to drive the city bus. And okay, so I get a call. Wife's in labor. Her water done broke, so now she got to have this child, but she's only been pregnant for 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that ain't good. So when I get to the hospital, the doctor tells me, he said, man, he said, she don't have any fluid, so she got to have the baby. He said, but if we could just get her to hold out for 24 hours, it'll give the baby a little bit more time, because they was giving him steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a little bit more time to develop before he's born, because once he's born, the development is different.
Right.
I didn't understand all that and didn't know, but I said, okay, cool. So I went and talked with my wife. I said, listen, I know you're in pain and all that. I said, but they thinking that if you wait another 24 hours, that it'll be better for the child. So mm-hmm. she's like, okay. I said, okay, I'll be back later. We did that. So I get back the next day, time's expired his time, and he's like, man, that went well. And the doctor tells me, so man, the truth is, we really should have did 48 hours. Hmm. He said, but there's no way she could have done that. I said, look, man, let me tell you something. I said, this is a God thing. You tell me, the Father, what you need me to tell my wife that God want us to do.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and that's what we'll do.
Right.
He said, well, if we could do another 24 hours, I said, well, you got that. I said, we're going to be back tomorrow at 3:15. That'll be the time. That boy was born 3:14.
Oh, my.
So we knew it was God.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, he had already told you anyway.
He had already told you.
If you had any doubt, right?
I didn't have doubt. I just didn't. I had never been a parent like that before. You know, previously all the children that I had was adopted, you know, from the wives already had them.
Right, right.
But just from the start to the conception all the way up until he was being born, it was kind of weird. And I just didn't know where to fit.
Right.
You know, because when I saw him, you know, because, you know, he did the thing, we cut the umbilical cord, and then they wiped him off. See, the wife never saw him. So the next day, when we went to see him, they had him in the NICU unit. And so I didn't know what he looked like.
So you were premature?
Yeah.
And white.
Total. So when we went into the NICU unit, they was like, well, who you guys came to visit? And we kept saying Isaiah. Well, they had made him a shrine, which is weird. On his crib, they had taken and drew this array of color stuff, and they had put the word Isaiah on it, and they had stuck this on his incubator thing. And so when we came in there, we like tripping a little bit. So I'm like, I don't know what he looked like. And so Cheryl, the wife, she said, I know my baby. She said, that's him right there. And the lady was like, you sure? And I'm like looking at him. I'm like, well, why he look this color? So I'm getting ready to go check the DNA now. But like he, you know, got some mix in there. So the lady told me, she said, we're gonna put this light on the UV light. She said he'll change colors. Mm-hmm. Well, y'all need to do that today. And then he started browning up a little
bit. Okay.
But the first couple of days,
like, starch white, right?
Because I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, it does happen.
Kids came out and looked like that.
Oh, yes.
They just came out and they just went up the color.
No.
It was going to be that. Bam. Just
right.
Come out and did dark. I'm like, ooh, Jesus. Anyway, start that.
You're probably not the only dad that thought that, or mother.
It might be true.
You know, look at your baby like, ooh, whose baby is this?
It took me a while to get used to that. You know?
Yeah, I bet it did.
And then I started, you know, learning how to, because that whole crying all the time, and, you know, because I was trying to give her rest, mm-hmm. you know, and my work hours was really weird, but I had time to do it. So it was crazy, man, because he would get up 3:00 in the morning and do stuff and play and talk. I mean, boy, you can't be doing this.
I got to get some rest, some sleep.
But, you know, like you said, we made it through that.
Amen. But, you know, that's unique when God comes to a person and tell them, well, you're going to have a son or you're going to have a daughter, and this is a name I want you to give them.
Oh, yeah.
That happened to my daughter.
Name him something else.
Yeah.
And when I took that name to the wife, she's like, boy, you crazy. God ain't talking like this. Then I came back. I said, you know, I said, it's a name that always stuck out with me in the Bible. God is always talking about Isaiah. She said, that's what we're going to name it. What it is then.
Yeah, and his name is Zephaniah. So, and God told her what to name him. She was going to name him something, Jamil or something like that. Yeah.
Kalunda.
Yeah, something.
Jesus.
What was it?
Kalunda.
Kalunda.
Yeah.
Oh, God said, that's no, we'll have none of that.
That's a long story.
Thank God.
Yes, yes,
that
yes.
That lets you know the Lord's still real.
Yes, he is real.
He gave me a better name.
And he has his own plans for you, young man. And my grandson, too, Zephaniah, you know, his name means one hidden by God.
Mm.
And he was hid. We didn't my daughter was pregnant, what, 4 months? And they couldn't even tell her by how many, you know, pregnancy tests she took that she was even pregnant. So she's like 5 months. And they're like, oh, yeah, you're pregnant. Well, it just didn't happen today. She said 5 months now, you know.
Yeah. And they couldn't,
they couldn't even detect it. Couldn't even detect
it. But why did they keep checking?
Because she kept telling me, you know, her symptoms and where her body was going through. I'm like, well, shoot, let me take this girl. So we ended up getting a blood test.
Right. And that's how they was able
to. That's how they was able to detect it.
So the rabbits didn't die. No. Y'all couldn't kill no rabbits.
Isn't that something?
I know. We use turtles.
Turtles?
Yeah, because they ain't as fast and you can hold them down a lot longer.
That's true.
You know.
That's true. You know,
rabbits, they kind of hard to catch. But, and she got a big one. I ain't gonna go with this.
Okay.
But it's kind of hard to tell, I guess. But we knew with her pregnancy, we knew it was a God thing, you know.
Yeah.
I would have did a little bit of things different, but not a whole lot different.
And see, I
would have made her more comfortable if I could have.
Right.
You know, because at the hospital, they was a little bit more than I thought, because they had to monitor her and everything because she was diabetic and all that stuff, you know. So it was a little rough on her that way. I would have advocated for them to give her something different, you know, do something different. But, man, that was 26 years ago.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm talking to 26 years ago, I didn't know what day it was.
Wow. Yes.
Probably. You know what, man, because I'm busy. Listen, the reason that the song Winnie the Pooh, the Pooh's Corner, sticks out with me is because when Winnie the Pooh said, I got important things to do. He's like chasing the clouds out of the sky and then counting all the bees in the hive. Well, that's kind of like how I be thinking, man. I be thinking about other stuff. I ain't got time for what y'all thinking.
Right, right.
If I don't think about the stuff I'm thinking about, then who's going to think about it?
Right.
Because y'all ain't, because you're scared.
So, but you're not.
I don't know any better.
Right, right.
Really, you can't really be, because especially the way that we are, you're going to express yourself regardless. You just got to be careful on how and who you express it to.
Absolutely. It can be dangerous. Or it can be the best thing.
I have him bounce stuff. He tells me stuff all the time. When he ain't around, he don't call you. But when he around you, he'll talk all the time to you.
Right.
And he'll tell you, like, Pop, because I was going to do something the other day that was kind of, I was obligated, I thought, to do it. He said, well, why are you doing that? I said, well, you know, he said, nah, you're not obligated to that person.
True.
You know, you tell them no. I'm like, yeah, but you don't know how the politics work around. He said, Pop, I don't care about that. No. So I went and told the person, listen, and I changed my mind about that.
Yeah, and people get used to you being that yes person. Well, yes, I'll do this, and yes, I'll do that.
They're used to taking stuff from you.
Yeah.
That's one of my biggest challenges. I've always given stuff to people I didn't want. Well, it's not that I don't want to give to people, because I love giving away.
Right.
But later on, when I go back and look at it, they didn't deserve that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's true. That's the part that bothers me. Not so much that I gave them something.
Right.
A lot of stuff, I don't know what happened to it.
Because that's who you are.
I gave stuff away.
Right.
You know, to people. People be saying, oh, man, I like that. Now, I don't do it quite as much like I did then, but y'all would. I used to have guitars all the time, man, that I like. And people would like your guitars. Oh, man, you know, you get to be friends with people. Like, man, I really like your guitar. Hey, you know, go ahead and take it.
Oh, my.
Yeah, well, I don't do that no more.
Oh, well. Well, praise God, right, for the light, Lord. Thank you. Well, I want to, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you ever studied the book of Isaiah?
A little bit. Not entirely. I mean, they taught me a lot, you know, and they showed me to the way of the Bible, and having to be able to, you know, go in there and do your own research for yourself, because they can tell you all day long, but if you don't go and see it for yourself,
that's what I'm asking you. Have you delved into that? Have you taken the time to?
I've read up on it a little bit, not a lot.
Right.
I still stick to. Sometimes I'll go back and I still read Genesis. You know, I still read the beginning. Genesis, just to know, like, okay, this is what God can do. He can put this together. He'll make this for you, you know, and he'll tell you, he'll drop you in there, and, you know, he's not going to, you know, make you do it on your own. You know, you,
you got some help, some support, but he's going to want you to show that evidence that you really believe in what he's going to put you through. You know, it's going to be a test. You know, and it always is, you know, it's just about overcoming that because you have God on your corner.
Yes.
And it is, you know, it gets tough because some days you think like, man, I don't know, man, I don't see him here. I don't see him out there. I'm reaching out. I don't feel a hand. You know, and it's just right before you hit the ground. He'd be like, see,
his hand is right under you. Yes. Yes, that's powerful.
What she really mean is, did you understand why we named you Isaiah?
I know what she meant. And I just said, I didn't read it like that.
Oh, okay. And I didn't know if you got that or not. You know, don't get sassy now.
See that?
No, I didn't know if he understood it or not. Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, being...
Well, he kind of went around the bush.
A little bit.
The mulberry bush and back. But Isaiah is a very outstanding prophet. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was what God required of him. You're still young, but I'm sure you'll find out. You'll find time to...
He kind of already knows some things because of the gift that God has given him, not just a drum gift.
Right, I'm sure.
People come to me a lot of the time, and I don't know why. You know, well, I didn't know why.
But you know, started now.
Yeah, you know, until I started really talking and realizing that the information I'm telling people, a lot of people don't really see it like that or understand what's really going on until they come to a person, you know, kind of like us, and they'll be like, well, I didn't think about it like that.
Right.
What else can you tell me, you know? And then you're like, look, I can give you the blueprint. You got to go do it for yourself, though.
That's true. You do. You do have to. I asked my grandson, what do you know about Zephaniah? Because that's who he was named after, you know. But I don't know how much time he spent trying to find that out. But he does know God for himself. He can talk about dreams God's given him and how he's leading him. And
yeah, that's what you don't want to talk about with this one here. You see, he sighed.
Yeah.
that was the time.
Yeah.
You can tell.
What? For real?
Well, I'll tell you.
She's
spiritual enough.
I tell her the one that was most impactful for a young person to see. And it scared me a little bit because I didn't really know what it was. As far as seeing... it was me. It's me standing next to a presence, an aura, big, huge. It's God. Looking out in the horizon, you can see a split in between the earth, and it's earthly plane. You got the heavens, and then you got hell. And heaven and hell are coming to earth to combat each other, having a war. And he's telling me, he said, "I want you to watch this. Because when it comes, I want you to be ready for it." And I just stood there, just next to this presence, and I never knew. But as soon as they all touched, everything shook. But then at that point, I wake up. So it's just like, I gotta tell them this, you know. Like I have to tell someone, you know. And I started telling like you, Ms. Z, what was going on. I was like, man, this is crazy, you know. And they kept telling me, they said, look, just, you're doing the right thing. You know, you're reading into it the right way. You know, you got the right people around you to help understand it.
And that was what I knew. That's when I was telling you what I knew God had said. He had given me certain keys to help this brother. Because I had similar things when I was growing up. I mean, I had visions all the time. When I was growing up, they was always saying you was born with a veil over your face. You ever heard that?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and I don't know if it was like that, but it was kind of indicated that something to that effect had happened. And either you're supposed to not remove it or you're supposed to move it, whichever one they did, the opposite.
I never understood it, really.
Not totally, but whatever they supposed to be did was wrong because I ended up having these visions all the time of stuff. And that was kind of like some of the same stuff. He would be telling me, we'd be riding down the street and he would be seeing stuff, you know, and he'd be telling me.
The time I said that bird turned into an angel?
Yes.
That was weird. You know, because it just, I was looking at it and it changed. I was like, I didn't know until he told me
one day. He said, you know, he said, it's too much for a kid to know at this age, you know. And I guess that was when he was about 9 or so, you know, right after a lot of the stuff.
I'm about to say, yeah.
After mom had passed, you know, he was telling me a whole lot of stuff, you know. It was interesting.
Yeah.
But it's just the visions that the Lord says that older men have dreams and children have visions.
Yes.
Young men have visions.
Yes.
And so all of that stuff comes to fruition. And it just lets you know the word of God is just real.
Yes, it is. He is real. Absolutely. And Josiah, he was 6 or 7 years old. He was the youngest king. Just think of him.
Yeah.
What he had to go through.
Oh, yeah.
So what God is sharing with you as a child, you know, the older you get, the more these things will make sense to you, you know, and you'll see the fullness of what he wants you to walk in. But walking with him is, it's better than walking with anyone else in the world.
Yes.
Because like you said, I got you. His hand is always right up under you. I have you, you know. So, and you have to trust him. Trust in him.
I'm glad to have figured that out at a younger age instead of getting, you know, instead of being lost like some people.
I know.
At my age, and they will never really understand certain things.
Because
they don't want to really learn it, honestly. And it's always been kind of sad to me. That's why I make sure I surround myself as far as my friend group with people that I can even talk to about stuff like this, or we all can come down and conversate with, you know. So I like knowing now.
But see, you God has given you the gift to challenge other people, especially people your age, because they may be off on something else, but you can help them refocus.
Yep.
You know, he's giving you the gift to make them think. If you can make a person think,
that's
you
it.
Can help a person change their life and the direction that they're going into. But if you can't challenge a person to think, well, where are you at? Where are you going? You know, what you really believe in? Then they may not find it, or it take them a long time to find it, you know. Because they have closed their mind off to it. But but I love the fact that you can challenge people.
I try.
And as well as your dad.
Yeah.
As well as him, you know. Yeah. I really, that tap one, I really like it, you know.
We've talked extensively about that. Yeah, man, when he told me he was going to start doing that podcast, I was like,
Great.
Because we already talked to people, but now it's on a platform you can reach a bigger audience.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, absolutely. So you said you were getting ready to do some additional things.
Yeah.
On podcasts. What do you have in mind?
You know, I'm thinking about just doing a, like what we're doing now, more like a, where we just kind of talk about the subject and kind of just flow with it.
Okay.
And let it just materialize however it does.
Right.
You know, so basically we're going to be talking about the same type of things, just ideals.
Right.
How to look at things differently.
True.
And
true.
To have different concepts, because there's no sense in just being trapped in one way of thinking.
It's not. There's no growth there.
No
growth at all.
Thinking. So, yeah. That's what we plan, but we kind of sitting it out how we're gonna do it.
Well, good.
We haven't figured it completely out yet, but
therefore y'all can come.
But the part that, you know, we've already did the other part.
Right, yeah. Y'all can just come and share on my show till you get it straight. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That was kind of one of the things that I wanted to do. I wanted to introduce him to what we was doing.
Good. I'm glad you did. Chip off the old block here, right beside you.
He is. It's kind of cool, you know, because you don't know as a parent really what you're producing.
Right.
You really don't.
That's
until
true.
They get old enough to unwrap to themselves and to show who they really are.
Right.
Then you'd be like, oh, my goodness.
What was it?
Think about it. Jeffrey Dahmer had a mama.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
Yeah, man.
I'm just saying. That's a wild dude. And I don't think she raised him up. Now, look, now, Jeffrey. When you get old enough, when you see little Johnny, he got some tender love. We just get him over here and kill him up, cut him up, and eat him, and just have a good time.
Well, God forbid.
Yeah, y'all seen Johnny? So
oh, my
look like?
Gosh.
Little guy, huh? You just about this big? No,
oh,
you
my.
Him?
Could you imagine that?
Little piece of that, you know, that kind of stuff. So
oh, my.
I'm sure they didn't do that, but he turned out like that.
Yeah.
So, like I said, you don't know. You just try to put the best in him.
That
and
you
hope
can.
That it works, man.
And that's
I thank
so true.
God that it did. Listen, man, we talk about this all the time. We got, between me and my wife, we got 5-6 kids. 5 or 6. And 2 grandkids. And the thing that we glad about is that they ain't never been locked up or nothing like that. Ain't been on no drugs or nothing like that.
True.
And these boys ain't never did no craziness and got out here and got with women and girls and young girls and stuff. Thank God they slipped past a lot of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's a blessing. Truly.
They be trying. It ain't that they don't be trying to lock them down.
I'm sure.
Them boys down, but they be running like David. Not David was, man, I ain't going to take off my clothes to be running from the woman, but David did. I think that was wrong in the Bible. They might have to rewrite that. But they shouldn't have.
Oh, you mean Joseph?
Which one was dancing? Well, David danced out of his clothes.
He danced out of his clothes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was Joseph.
It was Joseph.
The king's wife.
Yeah.
When she came in that shoe, man, and she almost made me cuss. Come in my house.
Like this. She had a lot of nerve, too, boy.
Well, you know, that's crazy to me, but yeah, which one of them queens was it? Do we know?
I don't even know her name. I don't know if it was even in there.
I want to say Bathsheba, but I don't think
so. No, that's the one David had.
Oh,
remember, he was watching her take the bath on the porch that night.
Ooh, I told him.
He was on his roof and she was on her porch.
That's why they took away binoculars back in the 13 and the 100. Because we were peeking in caves. They didn't even have windows, boy. Yeah, we peeking in caves. You know, that started like caves peekers. Yeah, he sat there and watched her take a bath. And
sure did.
But the part where he had a husband killed, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He like, look here.
Put him on the front line.
You go up front and check this out. Knowing that they're killing folk. Yeah, because he had got her.
Oh, he paid for it, though.
Oh, yeah.
He paid for that. So he left her, you know. God said,
I don't know the whole story because I kind of dropped off after he ran out the room because I was like, I'm just kidding. Real man shouldn't have ran out the room like that. But
you talking about Joseph again with the Potiphar's wife. Yeah, Potiphar's wife.
Yeah.
Wow. She was on a mission.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't need
But his relationship with God meant more to him than her.
See, like I said, I don't know the whole story. I just know bits and pieces of it.
And that's what it was about.
Okay.
And he respected Potiphar. He said, he's given me head over his whole house except for you.
Okay.
Why would I, you know, why would I do my master like that? And my God, I just couldn't. He couldn't see himself doing it.
So
that's why he
ran.
And she had his clothes in her hand and he was gone. He spun out of them clothes.
You never let a woman bring you your clothes. Or buy you a pair of shoes.
Oh, my gosh.
All of my old folklore thing that they used to tell us that was crazy.
We're out of time.
I know.
We are out of time again. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People here on WGH Talk. Thank you, Willie, and thank you, Isaiah, for coming and sharing your time with us.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, till next time, be blessed.
Be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP